A4.
Number 20A.
We come now to our third category of capitalized terms, which Mrs. Eddy uses. You remember we said she introduced a completely new system of reference in Christian Science, which takes the place of the old human system of reference, and that we could see that her three great categories were, first, the nature of God, which was is symbolized through the seven synonymous terms, because what they do is to define the nature of God. Then she introduced a second category, namely the four sides of the holy city, the operational sense, in order to bring out that that nature of God, the first category, really has a calculus or is operating constantly as the Word, Christ, Christianity and science, as that cybernetic, self-regulating law of input, process, output and feedback, giving a terrific sense of the ever-operative nature of God. And now we come to a third category, namely the levels of science, which we can summarize as science itself. That's the highest level of science, science itself, then divine science, then absolute Christian science, and then Christian science. So we will speak about those four levels of science and consider the office of those four levels. So before I start, I just want to indicate why we need those four levels, or why Mrs. Eddy has introduced into her teaching those various levels of science. This subject is very big, and so I can only give again some indication of the problem that is put forward here through those levels. You know that I have written a book on these four levels of spiritual consciousness, which gives the main ideas concerning this whole subject, and also I have given quite a number of seminars during the last 2 and 3 years, which actually complement that book. In my book on the four levels of spiritual consciousness, I just could only indicate the problems, and then in those seminars on which tapes exist, I would take that book and elaborate on it. So anyone who is interested in that subject, and I guess we are very much interested nowadays in it, could reconsider those tapes in the following sequence, that the very first additional information to the book is given in those talks I have given in New York 3 times a weekend, where I take the verticals, so to say, the Word vertically through the dimensions, then the Christ vertically through the four levels of science, and then Christianity through the four levels, and then science through the four levels. Those talks give a very good sense of the infinite translatability of the infinite to every plane of thought. Then also, we have another set of tapes, especially from last year, on the seminar in Glen Cove near New York, where I have taken the subject a step further and have shown that through that dimensional consciousness, we arrive at very definite laws of being. And so I have put my accent last year in that seminar on considering these four levels of science, especially from the point of view of laws and also from the point of view of seeing that they constitute a structure and give a structured sense of the synonymous terms for God. So today I just want to indicate what it is all about, And so the first point is, what is really a dimensional sense? We know that in all the sciences in the world, there has been a great trend towards specialization, to take a big subject, a big science, and specialize in one little part of that science. And that had the great disadvantage that in being specialized in a little detail, that the specialist loses sight of the whole. Therefore, today there is a great cry of putting things together again, of having an integral and general sense of a science, so that one does not lose itself in one or the other detail. Now, this specialization had the great disadvantage that the specialist felt that only his subject and the way he looked at the subject was important, and that that was really the only thing that should be considered. In the general field of the sciences, this is also called reductionism, because the subject has been reduced to some small aspect, and then has made that aspect as the only possible aspect on that subject. And so the opposing trend, and a healthy trend today, is to show, instead of reductionalism, dimensionalism. Meaning with dimensionalism that one should consider a subject from all the various aspects together, so that one sees all the various dimensions of a problem and not just one dimension. Just as an indication what it could mean, the whole subject really demands naturally that one has a few hours to talk about, but just in order to show what it could mean is, say, if we have a cube, then a cube is actually a square. It contains squares, and a cube becomes a square then when we translate the three dimension of a cube to the two dimension. Can you see the moment one translates something from a higher dimension to a lower dimension, that the form of the subject changes? The cube becomes a square. Or the other way around, if we have on a two-dimensional surface a square, and if we overform that square into a three-dimensional aspect, we get a cube. Now, this is, so to say, the backbone of dimensionalism, which says it all depends from which dimension we look at a certain thing, and according to the dimension we look at it, we get another phenomena. We get either, in this case, a square or a cube. So it is, again, the point of observation. Here we would call it the level or the dimension from which we consider something that determines the phenomena. And also, you can see that dimensionalism is based really on that great sense that every subject, every phenomena can be translated, either translated down to a lower dimension or translated upward, so to say, overformed to higher dimension, but the subject is always the same. This is the core of dimensionalism, that the same thing, according to the level from which we look at it, appears differently. And this is called, in ordinary language, dimensional ontology, when it is concerned with the science of being. So that today we are no more, in the general field of philosophy, interested in ordinary ontology. Ontology is the science of being. In ordinary ontology, where one only considers something from one dimension, let's say from the human dimension or from the psychological dimension or from the emotional dimension or things like that, but where they begin to see that every phenomena has to be taken as a whole, but that that whole has its impact on various levels of existence. So they speak about the dimensional ontology, and actually what Mrs. Eddy has introduced 100 years ago was that dimensional ontology, because in her textbook she will speak from various standpoints of consciousness. She will deal with a subject like healing from very different standpoints, and according to the standpoint or level from which we look at that very same thing, we will deal with it in a different way. That is the reason why we can have our practice on very different altitudes of consciousness according to our own state of consciousness. Now, these various levels and states of consciousness, states and stages of consciousness, as Mrs. Eddy would call them, are not just stages and stages that are defined individually to the practitioner, but they are states and states of consciousness that are inherent in the science of Christian Science, in the science of healing, and are not so much something that is characterized by an individual practitioner, but is something inherent in the science of being itself. We can see how, for instance, this dimensional concept of science is of greatest importance, because in the old classical way we were thinking atomistically. We are thinking that if we have a certain knowledge of a subject, that we just could enlarge that amount of information, that we could add and add to our information by gathering new data, and in the measure as we were busy beavers, that we would gather more and more data, and the more we would gather data, the bigger would be our insight into the subject. Now, this is not so. One has begun to see during the last 20, 30 years that there are much deeper laws at work for getting a deeper and a clearer insight into a subject. Namely, that we have to see the dimensional sense of things. If I take another very crude but perhaps very understandable illustration, say, from the biological field, perhaps you can see what the dimensional approach to a subject means, and that actually only a dimensional approach to the subject can lead us any further. If we take, for instance, atoms, and you have a certain amount of atoms, in certain ways you can add atoms to atoms, but can you add atoms to atoms ad infinitum? And there we see, no, this way of thinking atomistically by adding and adding just data does not lead anywhere, because every accumulation of atoms will at one point lead to a platform, to a borderline, where you can no more add atoms without changing the whole thing. Namely, you come to the point where it becomes a molecule, so that you can no more add atoms to atoms without getting a completely different phenomena, namely a molecule which is very distinctly defined through the number of atoms. And if you have molecules and add molecules and molecules, you can do that until again you come to some kind of borderline where one can no more do that without getting into a completely different dimension, namely where, say, in the field of biology, you arrive at a cell, that molecules and molecules and some billions of molecules suddenly make up a new configuration, a new structure, which is a cell, and so there is again another level of looking at the same thing. And so you can go on that adding together a few billion cells, you suddenly arrive at a very specific organ, so that we cannot just add trillions and trillions and billions of molecules, just always adding and adding. At one point, the relationship that exists between those molecules will form something completely new, an organ. And so in that way, we can see organ and organ added together will suddenly become a body. So here we go on the same basis of atoms. The body is nothing else but atoms, you see? So the reductionist says the body is nothing else but atoms, whereas if we look at the body dimensionally, we would say, oh no, that body consists of atoms, and it consists of very definite structures of molecules, and it exists of very clearly defined structures of molecules as cells, and it further consists very definitely of certain defined organs, and those defined organs together in the right proportion make up a body. So the body is not just a terrific heap of atoms, but it is a whole dimensional structure of atoms, and that which makes a body, instead just of a terrific heap of atoms, are the relationships between those atoms, is forming various levels of configurations, and so you can see that only a dimensional concept of the body here, for instance, is really able to approach the subject of a body rightly. Now, with this concept or illustration, we can see that Mrs. Eddy was thinking along those same ways, because she not only said that she discovered a science, but she would also call those sciences in a different way according to the context that science operates in, the whole dimension of ontology, or in the science of being. John Dolly could see that in the beginning of the 1940s, and especially then when he began to investigate the revelation of St. John, he could see that even St. John was perceiving the fact that in being we have to take in various levels of science or various levels of scientific consciousness. And so he began to investigate the textbook in that way, and could see that Mrs. Eddy again was using a very definite language, and that she was really showing that dimensional ontology in Christian Science. He didn't name it that way, because at that time in the general field of science, that scientific term was not yet coined, and so he couldn't use that. So he had to use just those terms which would approximate what he could see as dimensional ontology, and would present that in the way he could. Actually, he only very seldom presented this subject of the levels of consciousness and the levels of science, because he couldn't do everything. He was busy enough with introducing the first steps of the science of Christian Science, and had to leave it to his students to present it and to teach it what he had really in mind. So he was introducing and telling us that there are four different levels of science. In the beginning, he had only three. Up to the middle of the 1940s, he was mostly speaking only of Christian Science, and then absolute Christian Science, and then divine science. And only shortly before he left us, in the spring 1949, and then especially in the summer 1949, when he gave those terrific talks on the four Gospels in Oxford, there he then introduced a fourth level of science, namely what he called science itself. And that's how he left us. He left it to us. So if we consider those four levels from the highest standpoint, we can see the following. What Mrs. Eddy discovered was, in the deepest sense, or we could say in the highest sense, it's both way right, that her discovery is science. That's why she put so much stress on that term science, which she uses over 1,000 times in 600 pages of her textbook, and one can see right from the quantitative use of a term how much stress she has laid on that term. She very rarely speaks of her discovery as having anything to do with religion. When you look up the concordance and go through all the references on religion, you will see that there are actually very few references where she uses the term religion. And investigating those references, you can see that only very, very, very few have a positive connotation. Most sentences and references on religion are in the negative, and only a very few are in the positive. And she never uses the rendering, the religion of Christian Science. Never. Though naturally she could use it. But this was not in the forefront of her consciousness. But it is clear that as she has discovered the science of all sciences, she naturally has discovered the science of medicine, just as she has discovered the science of theology, the science of God, therefore gave to religion a scientific aspect. So what stands out is that great term, science. Now, she does not always just use the term science. She also uses the term divine science, and then a few times the term absolute Christian Science, and then quite a lot the term Christian Science. And what does she mean by those four differentiated terms of science? And so I go just quickly through the term science. When she speaks about science per se, a science itself, then she means really that being is presented as a science as such, and that that science is the science of the whole, therefore the science of the infinite one. The moment she speaks about the infinite one and wants to show that that infinite one has a scientific aspect and can be understood in a scientific way, she speaks just about science per se.